Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Good evening. So I wonder if I was to say to you, do any of you have fears or phobias or things that actually just make you frightened? People could shout some out if they wanted to. I thought there might be something like that. I'm glad you got in before Ted did. So various things that we'll think of. I went into our youth earlier on and just said to them, what are the things that you're frightened of? I promised I wouldn't name anybody. But the things that they came up with were these. Snakes. If anybody wants to like nod in agreement, I'm not into snakes, but snakes, spiders. Somebody said English, as in the lesson English, not the English. Deep oceans, somebody said. Deep water, crabs. Somebody said children, that was one of the leaders. Thunderstorms came up quite highly. The dark. Somebody said pedestrian suspension bridges. Somebody said sick, as in vomit. Yeah, sick. Somebody else said clowns. I wonder if any of those resonated with you, but we do have fears, don't we? Something that I'm a bit frightened of. I'm not as bad as I was when I'm in the story I'm going to tell you. I'm a bit frightened of mice. And I'm not actually sure if the person in this story is here or not. Yes, she is. So actually, I've seen her, and I was going to grab her beforehand, but I don't think she'll mind, Jackie. I was once at home, and quite a long time ago, when we hadn't been married that long, myself and Ted. You probably need to know in this story that actually Ted comes from a farm, and that when we used to go going out, we would sometimes sit there on the sofa, his arm around me, and suddenly a little mouse would run across the fireplace. Well, so that's important in this story. So I was actually at home in Barton, and I was actually just sat on the table by the phone, because then it was landlines rather than mobiles. I was actually sat there on the phone, and suddenly Ted was on nights as a firefighter, and a mouse ran across our carpet. And I was on the phone actually to Jackie Wiles, and I just went, there's a mouse! And Jackie went, And I was like, Jackie, you're not here, it's in our house. She's like, oh, yeah. But I was really scared. And after I'd come off the phone, Ted wasn't going to be back till the morning. So I actually managed to get a newspaper and like whack it on the floor. And this mouse ran into the kitchen. I should have said I had just one child then, Anna, upstairs. I shut the doors in the kitchen, shoved some paper under them. So I knew that mouse was in there and it wasn't going anywhere. I went to bed in the morning and I woke up. And rather than going in the kitchen and getting a breakfast, I actually got Anna, put her in the car seat, and drove to the farm, having left a little note for Ted when he came in from night saying, there is a mouse, I will return when it's caught. So he thought it was very ironic that I'd run to the farm when we used to see mice running across the fireplace. But dutifully, he came home and sorted it out. Bit of a daft story, but a lot of us are frightened of things. I'm not really frightened of heights that much. Well, I wasn't, but I'm more fearful now. There's an image going to just appear on the screen. I don't know about you. I don't know whether that image makes you feel a little bit wobbly. I don't know. Doesn't look great to me. I became more scared of heights when I had the children. When they went near the edge of things, I'm like, oh, stop! What about this next one? Maybe this one. Can you imagine walking across that? Pretty wobbly, isn't it? I don't think I'd do it. I couldn't do it now. Certainly couldn't. But the feeling that you get when you see the next picture is completely different. When you see this, Edinburgh Castle, and you can see that there, fixed on the rock, on that solid rock, And there's just something safe about it. Complete contrast. Or this next picture. What about this house? Little house in France. Not only built on rock, but actually in the rock. That's incredible, isn't it? Apparently you can actually go and stay in that house if you fancy doing that in the summer. Very, very, very expensive. Something about being protected, isn't there? And something about that rock. And I just wonder, tonight, where are we at with our faith? Are we wobbly, like that bridge? Or are we solid, like that rock? Maybe for some of us, we are wobbly just now. Maybe we're thinking our relationship with God, we're just not sure where we're at. Does God actually exist? Is this actually real? For some of us, probably feeling that our faith is strong. And actually, things are good at the moment. But I just want to think for a moment just about what it means to have our foundation in God. The band, it's amazing when you are speaking and you actually send out your speaking notes or what you're speaking on onto the band. They're just so amazing at then coming with songs that just fit in so well into this. And there was a lot said today about foundations and our faith in God. But I came across this absolutely amazing verse when I was planning this. It's from 2 Timothy. And it says this: "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his." What an incredible verse that is. God's foundation stands firm. You know, we don't follow a wibbly-wobbly God. We don't follow a wishy-washy faith. We have a God who is absolutely solid, who can absolutely be trustworthy to keep his promises. He can be trusted. He'll never leave us. He will never give us too much to bear. You know, we often say to the young people, your God is so strong, ask the difficult questions. We don't want wishy-washy Christians. God's not so weak that you can't, you kind of ask him a difficult question and actually our faith collapses. So we can't answer everything, but it doesn't collapse the faith. God's foundation is strong and solid. But isn't this verse just amazing? You know, God's foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, an inscription, an engraving, an inscription, an engraving. It doesn't come off. But it says this: the Lord knows who are his. If you're following God tonight, if you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, he knows you are his, and he is solid and strong, and nothing at all will shake that. There's a verse in Corinthians that says this. So, okay, as saying this foundation is strong. But what is the foundation? This verse just says no one can lay any foundation other than the foundation that is already laid down. And that is Jesus. Jesus Christ. Our foundation isn't weak. Our Jesus isn't weak. What is this foundation? This foundation of Jesus is Jesus there with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, right at the start of everything. We're always there, always, always there. Something we can't understand, but always there. There at the start of everything, as far as our world. There at the start of creation. There, part of creation. There as the creator. Jesus was there. Jesus there, part of all of God's plan. Sent as God's son, born as a baby. So the Virgin Mary, born as God's son, Jesus, growing up, living a perfect life, teaching, doing amazing miracles, teaching things that changed the world. It's not wishy-washy. Jesus then, all the healing, everything he did, being taken and crucified. Well then, oh, just so amazing, isn't it? Coming back to life, alive, and then going up to heaven, ascending into heaven, and there right now in heaven, not dead, so alive, more alive than ever, alive. That's just wonderful, isn't it? That's the foundation of our faith. Not something wishy-washy. It is solid. It is truth. And with that in mind, that foundation, let's just have a think about a couple of verses out of the passage that Scott read to us. I just want to spend a moment. We have this foundation, this firm foundation, this unchangeable, unrockable foundation. But the Bible also talks a lot about our part. Now, we know that our faith is totally based on Jesus, but there are so many passages like this one that say things like, draw near to God. And what does it mean to draw near to God? This says, draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. What does it mean to draw near to God? I wonder tonight whether we feel near to God. I wonder if some of us, God feels far away. But what does it mean for us to actually draw near to Him? You know, we often speak about building up a relationship with God. We talk about, oh, you draw near to God. Have a quiet time, sometimes people call it. Have a devotional time. Have time when you pray. Have time every day reading your Bible, praying. Keep coming to church. And that's great. That's really to be encouraged, absolutely. Nathan was speaking the other week at Impact, and he was talking about the importance of, well, how we nurture our relationships with each other, how we spend time making friends and nurturing those relationships. And he was saying, got to do that with God. We can't just think, yeah, we're a Christian. We've got to spend time nurturing our relationship. But drawing near to God, you know, some things the Bible says. Draw near to God, fix your eyes on Jesus, press on, run with perseverance, persist in doing good, be on your guard, stand firm, hold unswervingly. They're real actions, aren't they? What does it actually mean, draw near, fix your eyes, run with perseverance, persist, keep going, be on your guard, stand firm. Hold unswervingly. The passage that Scott just read says this: let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. The word sincere, when I was reading through this, I think it's quite a severe word in a sense. We might say somebody's, one of the children saying school or something, are apologising, and you're thinking, oh, they're just insincere, they don't mean that. Sincere, sincere apology, or at the end of a letter, you know, yours sincerely. It kind of quite strong, isn't it? But actually, when I was reading around this, what it actually means here is come near to God, draw near to God with a true heart. A true heart, a heart that's not pretending, a heart that's open, a heart that has no need to hide. You know, when we come to God, we don't have to come to Him with any falseness. God already knows us completely. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to come to God with our issues sorted out before we can come to Him. I think sometimes we think we can almost trick God. You know, if we say the right thing, we pray right, you know, God will think everything's great. But what it says here, let's draw near to Him with absolute truth in our hearts, absolute sincerity that says, God, I'm just coming with nothing at all to hide. There's a real confidence in that, isn't there? Just amazing to think that we can do that. A little bit further down in the verse, it says, come to God, draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings. It talks about us being sprinkled and cleansed from a guilty conscience. That's about us becoming a Christian, about this foundation we've been talking about, that we can come with confidence that when we come to God with this clean heart, we say, God, this is me. I'm sorry, I'm in need of forgiveness. But this is me as I am. But I believe actually that Jesus died And that makes all the difference. He came back to life again. It makes all the difference. And we come to him in absolute assurance that actually we've come before God. He's cleansed us. Isn't that just amazing? Assurance isn't a woolly word. Again, it means certainty. It's all about confidence. Absolute confidence. We draw near to God with an open heart, trusting him absolutely for forgiveness, trusting him absolutely for a relationship with him. Wow. Quite amazing, isn't it? Foundation of our faith. It's not woolly. It's rock solid. A little bit further on in this passage says this, not just let us draw near with sincere hearts, not just confidence in this assurance, but also let us hold unswervingly to this hope that we profess. Draw near, fix your eyes, press on, keep going, keep running, keep persisting, on your guard, stand firm, hold on unswervingly. How do we do this? There's 2 points from this passage that just stood out to me. You know, the first one is this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works. How do we spur one another on? Holding unswervingly. You know, we can help each other so much in this. By encouraging each other to keep going. We have a responsibility here to one another. You know, this week I was so encouraged by somebody in this room because they told me that they had, over this past week, been praying for me. It was an unexpected source, and it was one of our young people. And they just said, you know, I've really been praying for you this week. I'm looking this direction so that I don't eyeball them. So encouraging. That's how we spur one another on. She doesn't know how much I needed that this week, but she was praying for me and she spurred me on to keep going. What a wonderful gift that we can give to each other. What a wonderful gift that God has given us that says, actually, any of us, you are part of this plan of spurring each other on. And what about this next bit? Let us hold unswervingly. Let us consider how we might spur one another on. I think this is so important just now. Not giving up meeting together. How do we hold unswervingly? We encourage one another. Yeah, we want to draw near to God. But do we actually hold unswervingly by meeting together? I know lockdown has kept us apart. But now it's so important that we meet together. So important that we're here meeting together. Because it helps us to hold unswervingly. And I just think, you know, when God sees us meeting together, I think he's just so pleased. And actually, whatever you're going through tonight, the fact that you are here is part of you holding unswervingly. Everything might be going wrong around you, but actually you have had enough holding on to make yourself come out tonight in this cold, horrible weather that we got in the car, and I was thinking, oh, my hair's going to go all fuzzy. And it's, you know, it's easy to not want to be here. But actually, you being here is part of that. Keep at it. It's how we can draw near to God, doing things like this. So, so important. I want to share something now, which was, you know, sometimes as when we're speaking, we're given passages to speak on. And often I actually prefer that for somebody to say, this is the passage, and I'd love to go away and look at that. But just at the moment, people have been given like a free rein to what to say. And as soon as somebody said, I was speaking tonight, I knew exactly what I was going to speak on. Often I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I was just focused about this foundation, but also about a picture that somebody gave me a while ago. And it wasn't a picture, it was a picture they believed God had given them. And it wasn't actually for me, although I believe it was. But they were just telling me this picture. And for me, it was so powerful, and I really felt that I needed to share it tonight. And as I do share it, I just wanted to say that if, as I share this, you just think, you know, that is powerful for you right here, just be so thrilled that actually God wants to speak to you tonight. Because I believe we're not here just because we've come out to church. We've made that decision to come here because we're holding unswervingly. We're going to go to church. And God wants to speak to us. I believe he wants to speak to us very, very powerfully. The picture was this. It was of a zip wire. And it was a picture of somebody on a zip wire. They put the harness on and then they got on it. And they held on, and they set off on this zip wire. And as they were holding on, and as they went along, and you young people can just imagine me with this, because I know I would be shouting and do when we go away, hold on, hold on. It's a bit like when I shout, don't run on the stairs when you're here, but hold on. And so somebody says, hold on. And they set off, and then something happened where for some reason they lost the grip. It wasn't just like letting go, like you might do for a bit of fun. It was like, they were losing the grip and they let go. And there was this sense of panic in them. I've let go. And then suddenly there was this realization that actually this person was completely, completely safe. Because the safety and the security was actually in that harness. And although they should have held on, when they let go, they were still absolutely safe. And as I just prepare this, I just got the sense that, you know, I don't know where we're all at just now. Some of us are still suffering from things in lockdown. Some of us still carrying baggage. Some of us have so many questions. Some of us are just not sure where we are with the faith. And we feel like we have let go. We've just lost grip. But actually, the strength of our grip is nowhere near as important as the strength of that harness. So important, isn't it? The strength of our faith is not in the strength of our amazing, amazing faith, this strong faith, this foundation. The strength of our faith is not dependent on our own faith and our own personal strength. God is absolutely trustworthy, and he is strong enough to hold us no matter what is going on. No matter what is going on. Because, you know, sometimes in our life, things just come at us, don't they? Things seem to be thrown at us. Things seem to happen that just make us lose that grip. Hope's just coming up on stage and something's just going to appear on the screen in a moment. And as we're just thinking, it's on, it's because that's not on at the back. Got a different picture, sorry. I wonder what you're feeling tonight. Because for some of us, we've been hit in the last years by bereavement, by death, by things that have caused us so much pain. And for some of us, things like redundancy have really thrown our faith as we think, what are we going to do? How on earth are we going to cope? For some of us, relationships have failed. Marriages have broken down. Other relationships have broken down. And for some of us, it feels like that's really dashed us and crushed us. And now we're left picking up pieces that we didn't want to pick up. Some of us, friendships have fallen apart in school. Some of us are being picked on in school. Some of us are being bullied in school. And part of that is we're losing our grip. We thought God had us, but we're losing our grip. For some of us, things like lockdown have still given us doubts that are still there right now. You know, is God in control of all of this? Does he understand all of this? Has he actually got a grip on the world, or are we actually playing some game and making it up? Some of us, we're disappointed in our children, or we're disappointed with ourselves when we think about our children. We feel that we should have been better parents. We feel as if we should have done things better. Some of us are just lonely. And nobody else sees it, but in private we're lonely. And it's like, God, what are you doing? I'm let go of this. It's meant to be real. It's meant to be solid. I'm letting go. And some of us are disappointed. We're disappointed in life. We're disappointed in other people. We're disappointed in each other. We're disappointed in God. Some of us have got illness. Some of us have made mistakes. Some of us are just stressed. We've run out of reserves and we're letting go. But no matter what comes against us, even when it is so, so, so hard, you know, that harness is strong. And God's hands are absolutely there. The strength of our grip is nowhere near as important as the strength, wow, of God's grip on us. And when we've got it wrong, and when we've let go, God's solid foundation stands absolutely sealed, firm, with the inscription that says, the Lord knows you, and he knows you are his, and he will never, ever, ever let you go. No matter how tough it is, we have that firm, solid foundation. And just believe that if God, if you feel like tonight, somewhere you've let go, the foundation is absolutely solid. Hold on. We're going to just sing a, the band aren't coming up just yet. We're going to play a song. And the song is called Just Be Held. And we just encourage you to spend some time with like those hands, just remembering that God has got you. There's some beautiful verses in the Bible about underneath being those everlasting arms, and he will not let go. I just ask that we just let God speak to us through the words are going to appear on the screen. We might want to hold our hands out. We might just want to close our eyes. Might want to read the words on the screen. But let God just speak to us and remind us, solid foundation. We are absolutely held, and we will be forever.